today on Real Radio.
God's word is that manna for today. It never changes in its truth, but it's always applicable to what you need to experience in life. Truth drives the experience.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Where Is Your Faith? Part 1, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Now, Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. In 1 Peter, we saw how Peter's approach was patient and loving, but here in the book of 2 Peter, Peter really knew that his time was limited and much was at stake. Now, for this reason, his words are urgent and his message is straightforward, to combat the false doctrines and teachers of his day. You know, one way to tell if a ministry teaches sound biblical doctrine is how much focus they put on feelings and experiences. Now, God's word is not based on emotions. Churches filled with growing Christians who are vibrant in their faith are not likely to fall for counterfeit Christianity. They know that feelings come and go, but God's word always stays the same. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there are those who only want the miracle instead of the faith experience that backs up that miracle. It's why so many turn to false ministries. Their desire is to satisfy an immediate want instead of the eternal need for Christ. And now from his message called Where's Your Faith? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Now, I was told by somebody said, women don't look at men that way. Well, whatever, I don't know that because I've never been one, don't plan on being one. but I don't know. Well, what if it's the way a man speaks? If you know that you are going to say something in such a way that could put a thought in this woman's mind, does this book govern the way you conduct yourself? You ought to hold that word back, or that sentence, or that mood back. Roll it back. Or listen, what if, young lady, you're wearing something and it's like, well, okay, that's a little too much cleavage, maybe just half that much. And then you come to church and some poor guy has been battling, and then he happens to see you or sit down next to you. You say, well, how was I supposed to know? You don't know, but you know someone who does. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, at some point, I understand, we live in a world that is such that at some point, if that guy is speaking a certain way, young lady, just get away. And if she is wearing something like that and you ought not to look, turn around and go the other way. There's a warfare to be had on both sides. Are you with me? Don't do this thing that you have questions about. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. And you hear the Spirit of God say, don't do it. Then obey him. And it doesn't have to be that. It could be anything else. Let God speak to you. But how to conduct ourselves in this present time and in this present moment, in this present truth, God will be speaking to us. If Christ is the object of our faith, we're going to be wondering, what does Jesus say about these things? Look at verse 13. Yes, I think it is right. This word means urgently right. As long as I'm in this tent, you ought to circle the word tent. It's kind of cool. To stir you up by reminding you, that is repeating to you, these things. And so the word tent, he's saying, Peter is saying, okay, here's the deal. As long, it's so sweet. I've lived my life, it's been a long time, he's saying, and my tent, isn't it amazing he uses the word tent? The word, write it in your Bible, it's the word tabernacle. It's the word tabernacle, which is from the Old Testament. Do you remember when the children of Israel left Egypt? They didn't have a temple, did they? They had a what? Tabernacle. It's a portable dwelling place where God would reside. It was built of animal skins and poles and tapestries. You know it. It's temporary. It's on the move, the tabernacle. Peter uses the word tabernacle for his body. This is good. He's announcing, you know what? I know regarding my tent, I'm speaking to you right now, he's announcing, in this temporary body. He introduces to us the fact that Peter's not long for this world. We'll see how true that is in the next several verses. But he makes a grand statement about the truth is eternal. You and I, in our temporal state, in our material state, we are temporary. We need to remember this. This is good news for us. I sound like I'm repeating myself, but maybe it's good to repeat myself. Peter's repeating himself, so I'll repeat. So this morning I came in here. Now it's before first service. I just put on cologne. It's first service. I have no backup cologne during the rest of the day. In faith, I put the cologne on at about 6 o'clock this morning, trusting God that it would last for the duration of the day. But I walk into the church, and this one young man says, "Oh, you smell nice. That smells good." Okay? And that's a compliment. That's nice. But I've told you before, the older you get, you can literally, like a sundial measures the time of day. You know you're older by how many pumps you put on the spray button. If you're young, it's one. If you're 30, it's two. When you're 50, it's three or four. And when you're over 60, what you do is you spray one, two, three, four, and then the shirt's hanging, five, six. Now I'm ready for today. Why? Because I'm dying. The body, the tent stinks. Have you noticed that when you go camping, eventually, you know, you buy a brand new tent, you get to the campsite, you unfold that baby, and it smells like brand new, almost kind of like paint. It's an interesting smell, fresh paint. The tent smells like fresh paint. It's new canvas, it's new nylon, whatever it is. It smells great. It smells great. Listen, the second week of camping, you're ready to burn the thing. It's got to go. It's got to go. It starts to leak. The zipper doesn't work anymore. Things that once were are no longer. Peter uses the word tabernacle, his body, a temporary thing used for this world. It's rotting away. That's what he's announcing. It's about expired. Peter's actually announcing in the spirit realm, hey, listen, I've been growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. My spirit man has been growing, working out, building up. My spiritual biceps are huge. My spiritual bench press is off the charts. I've been growing so much spiritually that this old body cannot contain myself anymore. Listen, when a saint dies, think of this. They've outgrown their body. This old carcass can't handle it anymore. It's got to go. And Peter's saying, listen, in light of everything, your truth is it founded upon Christ? Because this body, it's going to go. This body's not going to last. And he's painting himself right into this great scene. He uses the word stir them up. He's saying that it's a good thing for you to be stirred up. The word stirred up is a great word. It means to arouse out of sleep, to be awakened out of sleep. It means to be provoked or exhorted. It means to be shaken out of complacency. Have you ever seen, like, in a cartoon or maybe in some movie, the guy grabs somebody by the shoulders and says, listen to me, get a hold of yourself. This is what that word means. Peter is saying, listen to me. The hour is late. My tent is leaking. Your day will come. Wake up out of complacency and learn this and be reminded about it. I fear we've lost that discipline. Reminding them. The word means here reminding, to repeat over and over again. It means to those with the military background, it means to drill down again, to drill again, drill down like on a yard where you're marching or you're going through maneuvers. Drill down again. Do it again. And again. He would say, and again. Until what it becomes what? Until it becomes, what do we say? What's the term? second nature? That our Christian living now is actually, for the lack of a better term, second nature. It's so familiar to us that this is now what comes out of our mouth when such and such a thing takes place, or this is what we decide to do. And it's now second nature because our lives are being led by the Spirit of God, because we've been walking in this path for so long. It's a good thing. Again, I want to read this. It's Jude 1, verses 3 and 4. We read it a moment ago. Let's look at it again. And it's this. Beloved, while I was very diligent, he says, to write to you concerning our common faith, look, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the what? Faith, which is once and for all delivered to the saints. And so that faith, I say combat faith in this day. And Jude announces in the third verse of Jude 1, verse 3, this is the reason why, and we're going to have to end very soon on this thing here. You say, Jeff, what's the big deal? Of course I believe. Oh, but wait, what do you mean you believe? Do you believe, is your faith and belief secured enough that someone who comes along is so persuasive? Now, don't say anything out loud. And I have nobody in my mind, so I'm not trying to bait you, but think of the most persuasive person in the world that you've ever, ever heard of or seen or something. The most persuasive. Imagine the most persuasive, the best orator, most beautiful or most handsome, the entire package came to you or appeared on TV and started to say something. And when they spoke, you got goosebumps. I mean, you got goosebumps. And maybe you think it's just you. And then you look over at your friends and they say, oh my gosh, are you? That guy opens his mouth and I just feel amazing. What if that started happening? That somebody appears on your screen and is talking like that and is so persuasive. You're not exactly sure what's up. You just know this. Whenever that person speaks, I feel good. I feel good. What would you do about that? You said, well, Jack, you just talked about experience. Oh, no, I didn't talk about experience. I talked about your faith being that which drives the experience, not some false teacher or some false shepherd or for some antics that are being presented. Are you hearing me? This is critical because it's coming. It's in this world now and it's going to increase. Are you going to be able to handle it? Hypothetically, somebody starts a church and there's amazing things happening. The first night, people's eyes, the blind were able to see. The guy was preaching and blind people could start seeing. One guy was completely crippled and he stood right up. Come on, let's go. Bring your sick friends. Let's go. And thousands of people are flocking. And you have a sick kid. Your kid's got cancer. And you're hearing from everybody, this person, this is what's happening. You should come. And you go. And you listen. And it's a little off. I mean, what is being said is fantastic, except this little thing. It's a little weird. Oh, but you know, why would I focus on such a little thing as that when, look what's happening around it. By the way, all of us have goosebumps, and I need my kid to be healed of cancer. And what if that person said, Scooby-Doo, and your child was healed? And that person has found out to say something like, Jesus, there's no doubt, no greater a man ever lived on the planet like Jesus. I have come in that spirit of Jesus. That God is so good and he loves you so much that God has sent me to be very much like a representative of Jesus. In fact, I'm like Jesus before you. And you're going, that's weird, but my kid just got healed. I'll be back next week. You understand those days are coming? Can you imagine how many people that attend church will no longer attend after that, because Jesus said that in the last days, if you don't remember this stuff, you're going to be led astray by false prophets and false teachers? It's coming. In some parts of the world, it's already here. There's some guy somewhere in the world right now, I don't know, maybe you know his name, he's doing freakish miracles. He's got like this little pot. He has a pot and he's pouring sand out of the pot, and there's like a volume. The pot's this big and the pile of sand's that high that comes out of the pot. And people think it's a miracle. Demonic. Jude 1:3 says, so certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out, as we read earlier, for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of God into lewdness. You know what that means? They turn the ministry of God's word into self-satisfying opportunities. They deny the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice they deny them both. I'm going to ask you to write these down and we'll be done. Are you ready? Where's your faith? And is it grounded in the truth? Remember, we're arguing this, that true biblical faith is nothing new. So, hang on. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Paul says to the Galatians, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. The word different, you have words going on here like allos and heteros taking place here. Notice everyone carefully. There's people, you're being led astray by people who are bringing to you a different gospel, which is not another. The word means it's a second gospel. You've departed from the true gospel that you once knew, and now you're entertaining a second one, another gospel. Does that ring a bell to any of you? People peddling at your door, another gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Wow. Wow. This is more current than tomorrow's news. Knock on the door. Bicycles parked up front. Briefcases in hand, pamphlet handed out, standing there telling you another gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, your Bible anticipated tomorrow morning. Peter's telling you, go back to what you remember from the beginning, draw it up, stand on it, be sure of it, because there's nothing new. Oh, we want to tell you the revelation, the gospel in the latter days. What happened to the gospel in the beginning days? Oh, that one, it was ruined. We needed a second gospel. Oh my goodness, my Bible talks about you. Wait right here. Let me get to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Ooh, I got to read this to you. 2 Corinthians 11:1. I hope you will, he's announcing about false teachers. He says, I hope you will put up with a little more of my foolishness, says Paul. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, that's Christ. But I hear that some of you, your pure and undivided devotion to Christ, will be corrupted, or is being corrupted technically. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you. Internet. Even if they preach a different gospel or a different Jesus. A different Jesus. Than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit. Than the one which you've received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. He's warning them that you'll tolerate it. Church, I want you to, in fact, you can stand. I mean it. We're done here. I mean, we're done, but I'm going to abuse you for a few more moments, but stand. I want you to be thinking about this combat faith. and to ask yourself, what is it that you're believing in? Here's a little quiz before you leave class today. Before the birth of Jesus Christ, was there a gospel account? Listen, before the birth of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, was there a gospel account in the Bible? Was there a gospel record? The Bible says yes. In Galatians 3, verse 7, the Bible tells us that God preached the gospel to Abraham. Did you know that? Abraham knew exactly what and who the gospel was. Number two, before there was ever a Christmas morning, was there going to be a Bethlehem event? That's how we know the Bethlehem event was important 2,000 years ago, because thousands of years ago, the Bible prophesied that Christmas would happen in Bethlehem. But do you know that? See, there's nothing new, nothing that's true. Third, under this little quiz, and we're done, before there was ever any debate about the deity of Jesus Christ, was there anything unusual about who this gospel maker would be? No. No debate at all. From the beginning, God revealed the gospel in the Old Testament. Peter's calling his audience to the validity of his word, the Old Testament. Peter expounds upon it, and he challenges you and I today in the 21st century. Be careful that you are not believing in something new. Make sure your faith is in him alone. Father, we thank you for your truth. Father God, that this remarkable, awesome word of yours would so saturate our hearts and minds. God, that it would just really dye the pigmentation of our soul. That we would glow with the brilliance of your truth. That, Father, though we bear about these bodies and this skin inside, may we remind ourselves again and again what this gospel is all about. May we remind ourselves again and again about who you are. And Lord, may we remind ourselves again and again that our time is short. Lord, thank you for giving us Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins, and 3 days later being risen from the dead. To him we trust, to him we look, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called Where Is Your Faith? Part 1. So glad you joined us today. You know, Peter's letters are such a comfort, aren't they? Just the fact that God cares about our spiritual lives is truly a blessing. Where's Your Faith? Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ in a very powerful way, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, sound spiritual doctrine is hard to find these days. So much material is available to us through the internet that we've really got to be careful what we take in. But unlike Peter and the Christians of his day, we have the New Testament, along with immediate access to biblical teachings through today's technology. And this includes Pastor Jack's website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, and once you're there, you'll find unique resources like updates on current events and all that Pastor Jack has to offer to optimize your faith and relationship with the Lord. Bible studies, sermons, along with access to Pastor Jack's social media, they're all right there when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.